Morning, everyone. This morning's text is taken from the book of Habakkuk, chapter 1, verse 2. It reads, O Lord, how long shall I cry and you will not hear? See, many people, if not all, question God. Some question his existence. Others may question his authority. On the streets, you may find people question God's holiness and ask the common question, why does God let evil things happen to good people? Well, in this morning's sermon, the prophet Habakkuk gives God those same type of questions, but his questions seem more like complaints. So let's begin reading in Habakkuk chapter 1, verses 1 through 4, and then I'm going to skip to 13 and 14. The burden which the prophet Habakkuk saw. O Lord, how long shall I cry and you will not hear? Even cry out to you, violence, and you will not save. Why do you show me iniquity and cause me to see trouble? For plundering and violence are before me. There is strife and contention arises. Therefore the law is powerless and justice never goes forth. For the wicked surround the righteous, therefore perverse judgment proceeds. You are of purer eyes than to behold evil, and cannot look on wickedness. Why do you look on those who deal treacherously and hold your tongue when the wicked devours a person more righteous than he? Why do you make men like fish of the sea, like creeping things that have no ruler over them? So let's recap. God gave Habakkuk a vision, so the prophet prays to God about it. The whole book of Habakkuk is basically an in-depth prayer between God and the prophet. Habakkuk is upset at what he sees. He lives in a time where the Jewish nation is acting out in sin against God. Everything around the prophet is violence, iniquity, trouble, strife, contention, nothing but evil. For God's special people that are supposed to live under the holy law, their conduct is far from holy. It's like the law is despised. So the prophet wants God to do something about it. He is complaining, where is the justice? Verse 13, why do you look on those who deal treacherously and hold your tongue? How can God, holy God, watch and allow evil things to happen? I'm sure many of us have thought about this same question, perhaps recently. The simple answer is because of God's love, he gives us all free will. As my brother Scott said, we're not all robots. But in addition to that, God allows that evil that exists in this world to bring forth his purpose or his divine plan. It is God's permissive will to allow evil to exist. Just think, if God did not will for evil to exist, then neither would you and I exist. Let's sink in. If God did not will for evil to exist, then neither would you and I exist. Remember, when you're looking at yourself, your standard of evil is much, much lower than God's standard. Remember to always compare yourself to God and not the fellow sinner. A sidebar example I can refer to is when Joseph's brothers in the book of Genesis hated him so much, which is a form of evil. They conspired to kill Joseph, but end up selling him as a slave. You know, how would God demonstrate his righteousness if he did not allow will, if he did not will for evil to exist? Genesis 50:20, Joseph tells his brothers, "But as for you, you meant evil against me. But God meant it for good in order to bring about, as it is this day, to save many people alive." There are three things I want to take away from today's reading. First, we can ask God anything, but don't resent his answers. Second, God will use whatever instrument he chooses to chasten or punish sinners. And third, when everything in this world around us seems out of control, God is in control. First, we can ask God anything, but don't resent his answers. Should we complain to God or pray in a complaining tone? Truthfully, no, we shouldn't. Remember, God knows everything. He understands all that we go through. He understands our weakness and our humanity. He understands our frustrations, and he understands our sufferings as well. He's been there. He's not just not up there sitting on a throne. God came down and dwelt among sinners. He understands. So should we be like Habakkuk? Why deny any of our emotions when praying with God? It's not like we can hide anything from God. However, arguing with God is a losing battle. God doesn't have to answer to us. We have to answer to him. Habakkuk's complaints got him nowhere. Job 13:33 reads, "Why do you contend with him? For he does not give an accounting of any of his words." Isaiah 45:9, "Woe to him who strives with his maker." Basically, woe to him who argues with his maker. Sometimes we don't like the answers God may give, or we're too impatient to wait on his timing. Kind of like that Tom Petty song, "Waiting is the hardest part." We're not going to understand all of God's reasons for one thing or another, or how or why God does what he does. We need to leave the work to him. Let me take you to Romans chapter 11, verses 33 through 36. It reads, "Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. For who has known the mind of the Lord? Or who has become his counselor? Or who has first given to him, and it shall be repaid to him? For of him, and through him, and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen." God replied to Habakkuk's question and decided that he will send the Babylonians to punish the Jews. This is what God said to Habakkuk in verses, chapter 1, verses 5 and 6. He says, "Look among the nations and watch. Be utterly astounded, for I will work a work in your days which you would not believe, though it were told you. For indeed, I am raising up the Chaldeans," which are the Babylonians, "a bitter and hasty nation which marches through the breadth of the earth, to possess dwelling places that are not theirs." So the prophet Habakkuk, he can't believe God's answer. He just wants God to basically keep the Jewish nation in check. Maybe straighten them out a little bit. Help them live God-honoring lives. Get them back on the right path. Habakkuk felt that God was being unfair towards the Jews. After all, the Babylonians are so much worse. We must be careful not to let the evil things that happen in this world cause us to be bitter against God, cause us to take anger, a root of anger against God, because Satan would love this. One thing is certain, God doesn't let sin go unpunished. 2 Corinthians 5:10 reads, For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body, according to what he has done, whether good or bad. So when praying with God, it may be best to take the focus off the apparent injustice in this world and put the focus on God and his help. I'm sure he is working behind the scenes, but we don't see it. But also, because we don't see it, doesn't mean that God isn't working. Sometimes you may feel that God doesn't answer your questions. And we, like Habakkuk, may say, "Oh Lord, how long shall I cry and you will not hear?" Maybe he is withholding knowledge from us that's beyond our understanding to accept. But regardless, no one said, including God, that this life is fair. Because you and I know it isn't. Jesus said in Luke 7:23, "And blessed is he who is not offended because of me." This leads to my second point. God will use whatever instrument he chooses to chasten or punish sinners. First of all, the Bible explains that we live in a fallen world due to sin. Our sufferings are due to sin, not God. God hates sin more than we do. And because he is holy, he cannot let sin go unpunished. But who are we, as sinners, like Habakkuk, to question God on what type of correction he will use for our own punishment or the punishment of others? Shall the clay say to him who forms it, "What are you making?" God is the sovereign authority. He is the judge and jury. Psalm 115 verse 3 reads, "But our God is in heaven. He does whatever he pleases." Doesn't God have the right to be angry with us? Have you not ever gotten angry with your children and punished them? Well, God the Father is no different. Remember what we stated earlier, how unsearchable are his judgments. Our idea of a good person is different than God's. Because we're all fallen in our humanity, none is good but God. Furthermore, our idea for punishment is not for us to decide either. Disobedience to God is sin, regardless of the act, thought, or intent of the heart. It is sin. And it breaks our fellowship with God. In the case we read, God uses evil people, the Babylonians, to punish evil people, the Jewish nation. The Bible provides all types of punishments God has used in history. For example, God rained fire and brimstone on Sodom and Gomorrah. He used wild beasts and famines, sufferings and affliction, and yes, death. Hell for the unrepentant who do not believe. Deuteronomy 8:5 reads, "You should know in your heart that as a man chastens his son, so the Lord your God chastens you." But bear in mind, our God is a forgiving God, and He is willing to forgive us and restore our relationship with Him, no matter the sin. The blood of Jesus covers all sins. God delights in mercy and is rich in mercy because of His great love for us. But there are reasons for God's punishment. One reason for punishment is to give us a sense of grief for our wrong actions. If there is no grief for our sins, then there is no remorse for our sins. And if there is no remorse for our sins, there is no repentance from our sins. Punishment, He gives us to give us a sense of grief for our actions. Lamentations 1:20 reads, "See, O Lord, that I am in distress. My soul is troubled. My heart is overturned within me, for I have been very rebellious. Outside, the sword breathes. At home, it is like death." Second, God punishes us to help us grow and learn from our mistakes, to be more Christ-like. Hebrews 12:11 reads, "Now no chastening seems to be joyful for the present, but painful. Nevertheless, afterward, it yields a peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it." The third reason God punishes is so that we can place our trust in God. And this coincides with my final point. When everything in this world around us seems out of control, God is in control. The Lord says in Psalms 50, verse 15, "Call upon me in a day of trouble. I will deliver you, and you shall glorify me." Do you think that you would even call upon God if it weren't for the evil you've done or witnessed? We must trust that God is in control of all things according to His purposes. Even if there are horrible things such as the forces of nature that this country witnessed recently or the cruelty of man, God is in control. Even though we see so much evil in this world and it may feel like Satan is winning, God is in control. God is allowing things to happen so that He can be, so He can display His greatness, and you will thus in turn glorify Him. God can bring good out of any evil. Incredible stories came out of the Las Vegas tragedy of people that were agnostic or atheists going to the concert, but coming out of it as firm believers in God because of the undeniable evidence of God's mercy, despite the horrificness that happened. People witnessed acts of kindness and heroism, such as throwing themselves on other people to act as a shield against the barrage of bullets that came down. Or how an ex-Marine used his fingers to plug up bullet holes in a victim to stop the bleeding. Unbelievable acts of love and compassion for others instead of just thinking of themselves. Praise God for working through these people. Proverbs 3:5 says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and not on your own understanding." Nothing that happens in this world is a surprise to God. Nothing. A lot of people think that God is in reactionary mode when He is not. He is all-knowing and in control. Acts 15:18 reads, "Known to God from eternity are all His works." Not some of His works, all of them. God sent prophets to speak about the events to come, whether good or bad, hundreds or even thousands of years in advance. God foreseen everything. He can take people's evil intentions and bring about His results. For instance, look at the evil that was done to our Lord and Savior, Jesus, on the cross. That Friday over 2,000 years ago. Today we celebrate that Friday as Good Friday. Why? Despite all the evil that was done that day, much more good came out of it due to our Lord's sufferings. The Father made an only way for salvation through His Son, Jesus. And Jesus did all the atoning work for our salvation. He said, "It is finished," before He died. Praise God. Praise God for all that He has done to overcome evil, especially for our eternal sake. Acts 3:18 reads, "But those things which God foretold by the mouth of all His prophets, that the Christ would suffer, He has thus fulfilled." In the end, Habakkuk placed his trust in God and His plan. He accepted God's answers. Habakkuk realized that the end result of the wickedness all around him will fall. And yes, it will bring devastation. And yes, it will bring loss. But he will continue to rejoice in the Lord. Habakkuk chapter 3, verses 17 and 18 read, "Though the fig tree may not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, though the labor of the olive may fail, and the fields yield no food, though the flock may be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation." Let us do the same, despite the evil that's in this world. Let's pray. Dear Lord, Heavenly Father, we may not understand all the evil that happens in this world, all the sufferings that happen, but we are grateful that you can bring all things together for good. We are thankful, Father, that you are in control of all things. Father, I pray that no bitterness forms in our hearts against you, despite the evil, despite the sufferings that happen. I pray, Father, that the evil that happens in this world draws us closer to you and not farther from you. That no matter what, we will trust you. That no matter what, Father, we will love you despite what happens in this life. Father, I pray that we continue to seek you. You are our refuge. You are our strong light tower. You are our comforter in times of trials and tribulations. You are our everything, Father. Father, thank you most of all for all the sufferings that your Son had to endure for us. All the evil that he had to endure for us. We are so grateful, Father, for all the evil that you have overcome. Your Son has overcome for our eternal sake. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Now at this time, offer one another a sign of Christ-like peace.